And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they have been told. For the last 32 years, we as a church family have gathered on Christmas Eve to do just what the shepherds did that first Christmas. To behold the miracle, the Messiah, God in a manger. And then to praise and give glory to God for his indescribable gift. And then do all that we could do to share that great news with the people and the world around us. Terry and I and our family have had the privilege of being a part of 26 of those 32 Christmas Eve services. And I've had the pleasure of leading as your senior pastor the last 18 of our Christmas Eve services. And since this is my last Christmas Eve as your pastor, I thought we might do something a little different. Instead of me just coming out and preaching a Christmas message, I thought I might share some memories with you. I've been a little nostalgic over the last couple of weeks, thinking back across all of those Christmas seasons and those Christmas Eve services. Now, obviously, I don't remember all 26 of them, and most days I can't even remember what happened yesterday. But there are a couple of Christmas Eves that I will never forget. And I want to share those memories with you, not to be a Debbie Downer. This is my last Christmas Eve as your pastor, but God willing, it won't be my last Christmas Eve to celebrate with you as my church family. And this is not just a nostalgic trip down memory lane. These memories are a reminder for all of us of God's faithfulness and the heart of what this church family has always been about. Our first Christmas here was Christmas 1999. We moved our family here in July, and I don't remember the Christmas Eve service that year, but I'll never forget a New Year's Eve service. Now, if you've been around a while, you know we don't do New Year's Eve services, and we didn't back then. But it was New Year's Eve 1999. Anybody remember what that was like? Y2K, planes are going, you know, the world's coming to an end. And so we decided, you know, if the world's coming to an end, we might want to be together as a church family. And so we gathered on that New Year's Eve. Now, we did it from like 9 to midnight, which is a long period of time. So what we did was we had this, our drama team and our worship team, they actually did like a full hee-haw show. Any of y'all remember hee-haw? We had the cornfield jokes and the gloom, despair, and agony on me and picking and grinning. We did all of those. It was cheesy, but it was really funny. And then we took a little break and had some refreshments. And then we gathered back together starting at 11. And we worshiped God together. We prayed together as a church family, And then at about 10 minutes to midnight, we joined Dick Clark on seeing the ball drop and counting it down, and we kissed our loved ones and we hugged and we went home. And I remember driving home in the early morning hours of 2000, and I remember thinking, wow, what a church. We found a home, because I'd only ever been a part of very formal and very traditional churches, and we realized we found a church family that doesn't take itself too seriously, but sure takes God seriously. 6 years later, I remember Christmas Eve 2005. For a couple of reasons. One, it was our first Christmas Eve in this building, in this worship center. And instead of having to have three or four Christmas Eve services back to back in the old worship center, we could all be together. The building was brand new. We just opened it in November. But that Christmas Eve was also very memorable because our founding pastor, Richard Swift, literally rode a living, breathing camel right out onto this stage. I think we got a picture here somewhere, guys, if y'all could throw that up. Yeah, there it is. Some of y'all old-timers remember that, but what you don't know is behind the scenes. So Richard wanted to surprise everybody. So he had the guy out at Eudora Farms bring the camel here, like early, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And they put the camel right backstage. There's a loading dock back there. Now, the building was new, and it still had that fresh, new paint smell to it. But I don't know if you've been around camels, but after that camel stood back there for a couple of hours, when you walked in the door of the foyer, you were like, what is that smell? But you know, as I thought about that, it reminded me that no matter how big Cedar Creek has gotten or will get, it's always been focused on the small connections, the doing life together in authentic community. As we've been reminded this year, the church is not just a place I attend for big gatherings, but it's a family to which I get to belong and to walk through life's journey together. 3 years later, Christmas Eve 2008, I remember it because it was my first Christmas as your senior pastor. And therefore, it was the first Christmas that I got to preach the Christmas Eve service. And let me just tell you, I was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a screen door factory. That night before, I tossed and turned. I couldn't sleep because it's Christmas. You know, when you're a preacher, like Christmas and Easter, that's the Super Bowl. Big crowds, lots of guests, and man, I was so nervous. Standing back there, backstage, I was just overcome with nerves. And I remember in that moment just saying, Holy Spirit, you got to give me. You got to fill me. You got to give me the words to say, because I don't have what it takes. And I don't remember that message. I don't remember if it was any good, but I'll never forget the presence of the Holy Spirit, not just here behind the podium, but all throughout this church family. See, that's what it's about. It's not about who stands behind this podium and teaches God's word. It's about the Holy Spirit moving in and among and through us as a church family. 10 years later, Christmas 2018, just 3 months after we lost our oldest son, Philip Jr., I remember standing right here on that Christmas Eve, standing before you, a broken man, trying to speak and find the hope and joy of Christmas. And you loved me, and you loved our family. And you grieved with us. And it was that Christmas that we learned together that Christmas isn't just about the merry and bright and the happy and good. That Christmas truly is the sufferer's holiday. Because it is God with us in our suffering. That God never leaves us. That He's closest to the brokenhearted. And I don't know, maybe that's where you are tonight. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe this holiday is a time of pain and loss. Or maybe it really is merry and bright for you. Whatever you're feeling, whatever you're walking through this Christmas Eve, two things I want you to remember. As you go through your day tomorrow, as you do whatever your family traditions are, I hope that at some point you'll stop and remember what all this is about. It is about God with us. The God of the universe entering the broken messiness of our lives and of our world to redeem and to rescue and to bring hope and help in every part of our life. And I also hope you remember that you are part of a church family, a family that would love to walk with you in your broken moments, that would love to celebrate with you, that doesn't take itself too seriously, but takes Jesus and his love and his grace and his purposes and his redemption very seriously. 33 years after Jesus' birth, he would gather his closest followers and remind them of the importance of staying connected to him and connected to each other. Jesus would do that through two simple but powerful symbols, broken bread and a cup. And so tonight, as a church family, and if you're a Christ follower, as our guest, we invite you to join us at the table to remember his love, his sacrifice, to remember the empty tomb and the hope that that brings, because we're not just celebrating a magic baby born in a manger. We're celebrating a God who would come to a manger, would willingly go to a cross so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be in communion with him and in connection with each other. Jesus, we thank you tonight that we're not just celebrating a babe in a manger, but a God who, motivated by love, would enter our world, live a sinless life, die a substitutionary death for us, shed his blood, and then 3 days later walk out of the tomb so that we could live in purpose and in hope and in joy in spite of whatever happens to us or around us. May we be people of light and hope as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.